Hi, Sycamore fans. It's time for the official podcast of Indiana State Athletics, Sycamore Sit Down, presented by Team Green Law. Weekly, we will be sitting down with coaches, student athletes, and staff members throughout the season discussing their backgrounds, current events, and more in the Indiana State athletic world. Remember to follow along with all things Sycamores on our website, gosycamores.com. Now grab a seat and relax. Here's this week's edition of Sycamore Sit Down, presented by Team Green Law.
Welcome back to another edition of the Sycamore Sit Down presented by Team Green Law. I'm Seth Montgomery, the Associate AD for Communications here at Indiana State, joined today by two members of our men's basketball team, Jason Kent and Robbie Avila. Guys, thanks for joining us today. Can't wait to have this show. I know that we're heading into the holiday break. I'm glad you took the time to come here and join us today.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
So much excitement about this basketball program. So much has been going on. There's been so much chatter just about the team's success that they've had so in this early part of the season. We have to take it back to the summer. You have to look at everything that you guys did building up to this year, but you also have to even look back even further than that to what happened this past year. That foundation was set and you guys have started to build off of that. How have you seen just so far this part of the season, so far this early part of the season, that success carry to this roster?
I think it started with last year. Like you talked about, the foundation being set with the guys. You know, our seniors that we had last year were, you know, amazing with what they did, and really started the culture, you know, in an uprising thing. And it just kind of, you know, built over after that. And, you know, as we went on, you know, obviously the season ended, you know, but the recruitment, you know, process, getting guys like Ryan and Swope and AG and Jake Wolf, and then, you know, bringing in the freshmen as well. It just really adds, you know, to our fit of, you know what we believe in here and culture wise, and, you know, all those guys, you know, bring in different dynamics, you know, on the court, but, you know, they also bring in stuff, you know, off the court as well that, you know, really fits in with the within the team, and, you know, they kind of just, you know, fill the spots that we lose with obviously the seniors we lost last year, and so they just kind of help us, you know, keep moving in upward motion.
Yeah, you know, piggyback off what Robbie said, you know, the seniors were a big part of our contribute last year. You know, the foundation they set of the how we want to play, the energy we want to bring, how competitive we want. And then with the guys that the coaching staff have recruited from the transfer portal and to the our freshman class, you can see that not only did they recruit very competitive guys, you know, they also recruited high character guys, you know, that's bringing family style atmosphere to everybody. And, you know, bringing those guys in, you know, brings a different dynamic to the team. You know, they, not one guy cares about themselves, they care about everybody's self. And you can see that right from the jump of when we started, you know, meeting the guys in the transfer portal and when they first got to campus. It was just good to see that they wanted to come and see what's best for the program, not just for themselves.
As you look around the team, you start looking at just the team dynamic out there on the court, whether it's in practice, warm-ups, games, everyone's involved, everyone's invested. When you're on the bench, you're paying attention to the game, you're getting up, you're cheering for your guys. When you're on the court, you look over there and you see that support. What has been the team dynamic, just from the inside, with you guys, from your perspective? What's the relationship been like with that roster, with that team? And how has that kind of helped carry you guys through this first part of the season?
The dynamic with the team is really family-like, you know. You know, coming from my experience of being a transfer, you know, last year, you know, I was kind of a little nervous of meeting new guys, you know. I didn't, you know, I felt welcome, but, you know, this year is more welcoming than ever. You know, it brings another dynamic, like I said before, to everyone feels included. Like, there's not one guy who can speak up, you know what I'm saying? So, like, a freshman can come to a senior and tell him you're messing up, or a walk-on can come to a scholarship guy, you know. Everyone piggybacks off each other, and it's a fun atmosphere, you know. We're very competitive onto the court in practice and games, no matter what it is. And off the court, you know, it's giggles, fun, it's have a good time, you know, hang around with each other, you know. Like Robbie, he hangs out with, you know, some of the freshmen, and we'll all go out to eat sometimes and just hang out. It's just a family culture, and it's really fun to be a part of.
You know, like Jason said, you know, the family, you know, type environment that we have. But I say another thing that describes this team is the we over me. You know, like you talked about, everyone being involved, you know, being able to enjoy each other's success. You know, there's no egos on this team. And like I said earlier, there was no egos on the team last year. But it just, you know, as you continue to go on with one team, you just, you know, get more comfortable with guys, trust each other. And, you know, you build those relationships where it's just like, you know, Swope goes for 21 night, I'm going to be happy for him. If I go for zero, you know, if, you know, Ryan, you know, gets, you know, 10 rebounds, you know, he stole maybe a couple of minor bases, you know, he does, you know, but I'm going to be happy for that because, you know, at the end of the day, all we care about is, you know, being the best that we can be as a team and just, you know, doing everything we can for each other just to, you know, be happy for each other because at the end of the day, you know, when we're all succeeding individually, we're all going to succeed as a team.
Yeah, you look out there on the floor and you see a lot of new faces out there. Most of the roster turned over from last year with those 16 years that's graduated, moved on, no longer with the program. You start looking at just some of the leadership characteristics and leadership qualities are out there. Who do you think has kind of taken on some of those leadership roles out there on the court that has kind of helped guide the team through this early part of the year?
I'm going to start off by saying this guy right here. He's become more of a vocal leader. You know, he's really stepped up in his role of, you know, picking up where some of our seniors left off, being vocally, you know, getting on guys. You know, he's one of the hardest guys I know, hardest workers that I've, you know, played with since high school. And he's always had an itch of being vocal. And he made a big role this year to be like, I'm going to be a vocal leader. And me, I'm not that vocal, but when I need to be, I will. I'm more of a example leader. You know, I try to do it by examples. I let Robbie do all the talking because, you know, he's a chatterbox. But but you know, I say he's really stepped up, especially after the success he had last year. He knows he's going to have more of a challenge because everybody knows who he is now. He's one of the best bigs in the conference. So with him being a vocal leader, it shows with even our freshmen and everybody else.
I definitely do think I've taken, you know, a bigger step in the leadership role. Me and Shirts had an off-season conversation, you know, after season ended last year, and you know, we knew we were going to lose Cam Henry and Coop and Calix and, you know, even Cade, you know, guys that are your, you know, six-year guys who, you know, been in college for a while and, you know, were really, you know, big leaders for the team. You know, we knew we were going to be missing in that, so I knew I had to step up. You know, like Jason mentioned, I wasn't really much of a vocal guy. I was kind of like him, you know, lead by example, you know, do the right thing, but I knew in order for us to be successful, you know, that I was going to have to step up, you know, into a bigger role. And, you know, we all have our own leadership roles. You know, it doesn't always have to be vocal. Like Jason's going to do the right things at the right times. Juice, Swope, Ryan, Mason, you know, Mason's one of those guys that, you know, you always know what you're going to expect out of him. You know, he's going to do everything, you know, correct. And so, you know, those guys, you know, are going to, you know, lead by example as well and, you know, show the younger guys or newer guys, you know, what needs to be done. But, you know, I take kind of pride in, you know, the type of leadership I do. You know, I've been through with leaders, you know. I'm gonna give my brother, you know, a little bit of stuff about it. But I've been through, you know, leaderships like my brother who was, you know, natural born leader. You know, he could get anybody to do anything, but he was a little bit more on the aggressive side, and, you know, sometimes would start fights with this guy, you know, Jason, and, you know, so they would start to, you know, butt heads a little bit. But you know, some people can't handle that type of leadership as well, you know, and we were able to, but I'm more of a you know, call a guy out on what he's doing wrong, but pick him back up as well, you know, because there's no reason to bash a guy for, you know, doing something when he's probably being just as hard as himself on that. And so just picking the guys up, you know, being loud, being vocal, and, you know, just trying to get everybody to that same common goal.
Most people know about the relationship, and you've already just talked about that. So, I mean, it goes back beyond Indiana State. It goes back to the high school days. Does it go back even further than that? How long have you two known each other? How long have you played with each other or against each other, just going back in time?
So Jason, you know, transferred his sophomore year to Oak Forest High School, which my brother also transferred there as well. You know, so I kind of I was an eighth grader at the time, so I was watching them play, you know, his first year at Oak Forest. You know, I always, you know, wanted to go there, and so I knew we were going to end up being teammates. Now, we played in middle school in around the same area. We never got to play each other because, obviously, the age difference, but just being able to play, you know, together in high school for, you know, those 2 years, you know, probably I'd argue the best 2 years in that school's history.
Facts.
Just to be able to play with somebody like that and, you know, learn a lot about a guy, and, you know, learning his on-court tendencies, his off-court tendencies, and just, you know, building that type of relationship together for those time, you know, and all those guys that I play with, you know, help that too. But that definitely, you know, helps bring something to ISU. You know, we were able to, you know, translate that from the high school to here, and, you know, just, you know, couldn't complain, you know, playing with a guy like Jason. It's just, you know, something you don't get a chance to do very often, you know, play with a guy for so long. And so, you know, enjoying every moment of it.
And, you know, picking back off of Robbie, I knew Robbie when he was in eighth grade because, like you said, I transferred to Oak Forest my sophomore year. And, you know, he was the big talk of the town. You know, where is he going to go for high school? And, you know, playing with Robbie was probably the best 2 years of experience I've had, you know, playing with somebody who could be a very, very good basketball player and just learning his tendencies onto the court. And, you know, I know I was older, you know, I gave him some tips here and there, but I wasn't, you know, all the best tip guy in high school, you feel me? I was still a little focused on myself, but, you know, playing with Robbie kind of humbled
me.
You know, playing with Robbie kind of humbled myself to, you know, it's bigger than just basketball. You know, playing with him was, you know, the great experience, and we had the best, you know, 2 years of probably best men's basketball history there. And, you know, being able to come to Indiana State and play with him again is just a great experience because, you know, playing with him for so long, I know his tendencies, what he likes to do and how he likes to play, and he knows how I like to play. And, you know, playing in college basketball, you know, it's fun playing because there's not a lot of chances you get to play with somebody from high school. And playing with him is a great experience because little does he know, I kind of learned from him a little bit, you know, how he operates and how to pick him up and stuff. You know, I try to be a guy who's been with him for so long, and I know how to get him motivated more than other people would. And I just try to bring that out of him as much as I can.
I'm going to go ahead and, because you guys have this relationship, take it back to the first time you met each other. What was your perception? What was your perception of each other's game? Who would win in a one-on-one back then when you first met each other? And then who would take each other now?
I'm going to start this.
No. I'm going to go ahead and start.
Let me start.
Okay, I'll let you rock out.
I'm going to start before he starts lying. But I think the first time me and Jason ever met was one of the summer camps at Old Forest. I think that might have been because Old Forest held Oak Forest held like kids camps over the summer, yeah. And you know, even grammar school tournaments. But he was obviously a part of the team, and I was an eighth grader, and doing one of the camps, you know, they helped out with, you know, the camps and stuff. And so obviously I had to put a little show on for my future teammates and all that stuff. You know, I always had a good relationship with Mansky even then too, so you know, I always had to try and you know show out just a little bit. But just meeting him then, you know, obviously I was kind of knew a lot of the guys on the team, my brother being on there. And so just, you know, that I think that was the first time we met. Now if we go back to then, one-on-one, I'm gonna be real truthful here, it's gonna be pretty split. It depends where we're playing at, because in high school this man couldn't guard a soul. I'll tell you, like, this man couldn't guard a cone was putting up 20 points on him in a game. And so I think if we took it down to the low post, it would be like me scoring over Coach Schertz. You know, there's no contest. Wow. I'm not that. Just a guy. Wow. Down there just standing in the middle of nowhere. So I think that. But if you take it on the split side, I know everybody's surprised, I was even slower than I was now. Yeah. And so Jason Ken probably would have just either drove around me, or his famous high school one dribble pull-up, you know. So I think one-on-ones could have went either way. So I was a lot bigger, stronger than he was in high school, but he was a lot quicker and a better shooter. So I think that's how that would go.
Okay. Jason, your rebuttal right here.
What Robbie said, you know, I seen him at the camp, and I was like, who is this guy? Like, he's going crazy. He's like, everyone looks silly, shot fake, spin, up and under lays. I'm like, no way. Like, you know, like everybody else. But, you know, I knew he had the capability, but it was fun to watch, like, somebody that could be my future teammate there. You know, I was like, if he comes to Oak Forest, we're going to win a regional. And 2 years later, that's what we did. But
yeah.
Not going to lie, some of the truth Robbie said, I was about a buck, 165, really couldn't guard. He wasn't lying on that. But if we went on the wing, I would definitely destroy him.
Yeah.
You know, could really shoot it. Could drive, but if we went into the post, I'd probably be on the floor about half the time.
Shout out to Coach Mansky. He was hashtag soft.
Yeah, that was his big thing, hashtag soft. But if you want to do it now, it'd probably be a split again, you know. It's split. Probably, like I said, and I can guard more, so it'd be very, very difficult for Robbie to score on me nowadays.
Score more.
No. No.
Score more.
No. If you want to be realistic.
I'm a step faster now.
Well, just slightly. Would you have to keep it inside the arc? Would you go?
It don't matter. Like, I can go either way now.
Okay. He thinks so. He thinks that.
It's facts.
We're going to post. He can't score.
No, I can. I've done it before. He was like, oh, he has post moves?
So what you're saying is we need to take it out to the court.
We need to take it out to the court to see who the type was about. But
I will make sure we get our staff on that. So we'll get you guys mic'd up. We'll go ahead and just kind of put this together. Maybe Skill can be our
play-by-play.
Well, obviously a great relationship. I've got to ask, how is it? I don't really know, looking back at the box scores, that you guys got a lot of time together on the court last year. I'd have to take a look at it. Now you're both in the starting lineup. What's it like just having had that relationship before to now being both out there at the same time this season? I mean, obviously you've got Mr. Double-Double over here. Robbie, you've had some great games too that you've been able to kind of facilitate that playmaking that's kind of become your trademark out there on the court too.
You know, like you mentioned, you know, building that time in high school, I think we always notice in the games nowadays is just the connection that we built. You know, I just always seem to know what he's doing, you know, especially on that baseline. He throws it up to me. It's a backdoor coming, and, you know, he's going to catch it, so I'm just going to get him that ball, and that's all I need to worry about because he's going to go finish it. And so just being able to kind of read each other's minds, you know, obviously we've been playing for, you know, 4 years together, and so I just, you know, knowing his next step, him knowing my next step, you know, it's just really, really helpful to have on the court.
Yeah.
And I'm able to yell at him when he does things bad. He's able to yell at me when I do things bad because we know we could do better. And it's just something special, like we said before, you know, playing together. And, you know, I can't wait to continue the rest of this.
Yeah, you know, like you said, we get on each other a lot. And, you know, last year was a little harder because not a lot of people know how Robbie plays. And playing with him for 2 years, I kind of picked on some tendencies. So, you know, being out there now, I try to help him out as much as I can because he's a big focus of our team and a lot of people going to key in on him. So, you know, he's right. We kind of do read each other's mind. It's kind of funny from the tendencies from high school. But with the opportunity left out there, you know, going up there, setting a screen, and they want to step up on Robbie, I got to lay. If they don't want to step on Robbie, he got a trade ball. So, you know, it works out both our ways. And, you know, just helping each other out is the best benefit of playing with this guy, and I can't wait to keep playing with him through my college career.
And I even add on that to finish that, it's kind of funny, you know, that obviously we see it, but I believe other people see it too. We'll get text messages from our old high school coach saying, I remember seeing this in high school. I remember seeing this in high school. And so it's just funny to see, you know, other people realize, you know, the things we do together, was what we did, you know, back then as well. And so I said, it's just something special.
And to add on to that, even high school coaches, it'd be our old teammates, you know. Yeah. I'm going to call out one guy, Aaron Gray. He always like, I don't like this Oak Forest connection. I can't do this Oak Forest connection because it's hard to guard. You know, you just got to pick your poison who you want to stop, man. It's very hard to stop us.
I mean, we're going to continue just talking about your teammates, too. I mean, you've got the Oak Forest connection with you two. Mm-hmm. You've got a trio of guards out there in the starting lineup, too, that I don't know if anyone in the Valley has the speed to stay in front of. I got to ask, how do you two keep up with them as it comes? Because, I mean, those three just get down the court so fast, it's hard to just even keep up from my perspective doing statistics at the table from time to time.
I'm going to say this from the faster between the two of us. I just try to be a couple steps ahead because in a foot race, I probably won't say I will lose, but I probably will lose in a foot race. But I try to be a couple steps ahead to, you know, because they're really fast, and if we got to play fast, you kind of got to move fast, you know. With Swope pushing in, Ryan pushing in, even Mr. Speedy Gonzalez himself, Julian Larry, bringing up the court 100 miles per hour, you know, you kind of got to at least be steps ahead or try to just catch up as best as you can because those guys are pushing in. And like I said, I feel like they're the best three fastest guards in the Valley, and there's something special to watch from the speed to the on-ball defensively and offensively. It's hard sometimes for me because I think I'm fast, but playing with them, it's a whole other level.
Yeah, no, it's kind of funny because recently we were talking about it in one of our practices. We were like looking at because they were all three talking. I'm like, man, it's a blessing to have those three. You know, sometimes I get a rebound, throw it up the Swope, and I just sit there because I know Swope's gonna go take it. He's gonna go score, and I don't gotta get there, so I don't gotta waste my energy. But yeah, no, it really allows us to kind of get our own stuff because they take so much attention on the defensive end. you know, because if you're not, you know, fully locked in on them, they'll go give you 20 each. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's it really allows us to, you know, do our things. You know, makes me look better when Swope's hitting my shots. You know, half my threes aren't, half my assists aren't off, you know, me creating some. It's just Swope and Ryan hitting, you know, tough shots. And so, you know, they just really bring, you know, so much to the team that, you know, a lot of people don't see. And, you know, it's more than just scoring. You know, like Jason mentioned, defensively, those three, when they're locked in, are, you know, three of the best on-ball defenders in the Valley. You know, they can really lock in and guard somebody. And, you know, and then offensively, you know, they just bring all that speed. And, you know, I don't think there's anyone in the Valley that's quick enough to stay in front of those guys. And so it just brings nothing but positives for us.
You go from the Oak Forest connection to Terre Haute. I have to ask, I mean, just talk a little bit about the journeys. What brought you here to Terre Haute? What brought you here to Indiana State? When did the interest first start coming that you wanted to become a Sycamore?
It definitely reached out. I think the first time I've talked to Schertz was my junior year. It was a summer basketball tournament for high school, and they came to watch. It was at Riverside Brookfield, and that's when the first time they watched us. We ended up playing really good. You know, I played well, and I actually remember I was on a family vacation in Tennessee with my family. It was a bunch of, you know, whatever. And I, you know, sitting in the cabins and the, you know, the wilderness and all that stuff. And I remember I get a phone call, and it's Coach Schertz. And, you know, that's when he first told me, he's like, you know, we're offering you, you know, we really are interested. You know, you're exactly what we need and all that stuff, you know, to make the program, you know, go up. And so from right then and there, it's been a, you know, solid, strong connection, you know, to the assistant coaches that were here previously, to the coaches that are here now. It's just been, you know, none but, you know, strong bonds and, you know, great relationships that I built. And it's just, you know, everybody always asks me, you know, do you think you made the right decision? You know I made the right decision. You know, I'm happy with the, you know, support around the community, you know, the basketball, you know, it's everything around here has just, you know, been nothing but good for me. And, you know, my family was happy with what I did. You know, I say if I'm happy with what I'm doing now, there's no reason to change it. You know, I'm having a great time.
Absolutely.
For me, it's a little different. I didn't get that call out of high school like this guy here. But, you know, I started my career at Bradley, and then my sophomore year, you know, I decided to go into the transfer portal. And I always had my eye on Indiana State. I like the way they played. It kind of reminded me of how I used to play in high school. So when I entered the portal, I was interested. And, you know, I talked to my high school coach, actually. I was like, hey, you know, I talked to my parents. So I was like, hey, I'm interested in Indiana State. You know, can you put in a word for me?
And then, God wouldn't leave me alone.
And then when I went, I kind of forgot he, you know, because I was hoping to play against him at college. But, you know, I forgot Robbie committed. And I was like, oh, yeah, Robbie going to Indiana State. So I contacted Robbie. I was like, Robbie, you might put in a word with me with Coach Shirts, you know, see if he'll bring me up on a visit or something, or give me a contact. And then, you know, they talked to Coach, and Coach talked to my high school, talked to Robbie. I'm good. Robbie put a word in, cause I know Robbie got some old film on me, man. So, you know, it was just good for. I got a call from Coach Schertz. You know, he asked if I want to come on a visit. I told him most definitely, and I came on a visit. He put me through a workout, and I played against the guys to see if I was good enough to play at Indiana State. And you know, he offered me right after the workout, and just from then on, it was just great relationship from the previous coaches to even now. You know, I committed on the spot, and I believe it was the best decision, because overall, I feel like I knew that if I wanted to achieve my dreams, you know, it would definitely be here. And with the connections that I have with everyone, even in the community, I can open doors through, you know, businesses of if I don't want to play pro ball or if I do want to play pro ball. So I believe Indiana State is the best decision for me, and I hope and I continue to stay with the decision I made. And my family's happy for me, so I know if I'm happy, then that's all that matters.
It's kind of funny that you mentioned me talking to Coach Schertz. I do remember Coach Schertz calling me after you started getting the interest and all that stuff. And I do remember he called me. I was in my basement. And I was whenever I talked to coaches, I always went to, it was like my laundry room. I always went down there, just, you know, a quiet place. So I would always go down there. I'm down there, and he's like, hey, he goes, what do you think about your guy, Jason Kent? You know, he's talking about he's really interested, and, you know, I want to see what you think about him. I told him he's the worst teammate I've ever played with. Come out here, don't let him come. I was like, yeah, you know, Jason, like, that's my guy, you know. We obviously played in high school together. I'm like, can shoot it. I'm like, he's, you know, a real good offensive player. He's taller now. I'm like, can move his feet, guard. And, you know, Coach sort of stopped me at the shooter party. He's like, Candy, I'm like, right now he's shooting like 20% from the three. I was like, yo, what? This is not the Jason Kemp I remember. And so I was like, oh, well, hey, Coach, sorry, you shot in high school real well. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And so that just caught me off guard. But, I had nothing but good things to say to him. He's like, all right, I'm going to take your word with him. You know, I think, you know, it really fit what we want to do here. And, you know, I think it really helped his team. And that's what he told me, he was going to offer him. And, you know, from there and then. And then I got the call from him. They said he committed there. And it's been nothing but good since.
I know that you mentioned community, I think, a little bit ago, and just the support that community's had and impact that it's made, and that you've really enjoyed being here. From what I've seen from both of you, it really is a well-rounded college experience, because you're not just with the basketball team 24/7. You're actually out there in the college community. I see you both at events. I see you both talking with random people across campus. What has it meant to you to kind of get that experience where you're not just focusing on basketball, but you're actually out there? Jason, I've seen you with the microphone doing interviews. Robbie, I've seen you at so many different sporting events. Even though people come up and get the picture taken with you, you're still there as a fan. You're getting to enjoy. What's it been like for you just to kind of embrace that college experience here?
Before I answer that question, I just want to say, that's how you know Robbie's famous. People want to take pictures. So, continue to take pictures, because he is that guy. But all serious, though, it's fun, you know, because I'm with these guys 24/7, and it gives me a different outlook on the community and a different outlook in the campus, because, you know, I don't want to just be known as a basketball guy who knows all athletes. I want to open my doors to not just only athletes, but to science people, to future politicians, to, you know, let them know that even though I'm a basketball player, I'm still here to support. You know, it opens connections. Like today I had my sales class. One of their things was just make connections as best as you can. You know, say hi to everybody you can, you know. I stick by that, you know, because connections could take you a long way, can open a lot of doors, and I believe that if you have connections, you can do a lot of things with those. And just being out there to, you know, just be out there, support different sporting events, and out there just having fun, it gives a different outlook. And I really appreciate the community, and I really appreciate the people for, you know, opening the doors to me personally, opening the doors to the guys, and, you know, I just want to show love to them while I say it.
Yeah, this guy wasn't lying when he says he makes it known to, you know, say hi to everybody. I've been walking around campus and, like, the walk from Georgia to the arena, and this man said hi to 15 different people. And I was like, you just know everybody? He's like, well, I met them before. I was like, all right, man, you got it. Like I talked about, the support of the community is, you know, huge for us. It really drives us for, you know, doing what we do. And, you know, I think it's just, you know, an extremely big part for me to give back as well. You know, if I'm expecting all this support from, you know, the other athletes and, you know, the outside community, I think they should expect the same from me. And so that's why I make it a big effort to, you know, come out to every game. You know, I go to, you know, volleyball games, football games, baseball, went to the swim meets, I go to soccer games, you know, I'm everywhere. And, you know, I think it's just, you know, being as big of a fan for them, you know, as they are for us, I think it's just really big. And, you know, obviously, I always talk about relationships, you know, building up relationships with them. And, you know, even outside, you know, doing, you know, community things, you know, going to events, you know. We go to one of our booster, the kids, little Jacob Hine. We've been to his basketball games before, you know, being there to support them as well. You know, I think it's just, you know, really big for me to use my platform as, you know, something more than just basketball, being a basketball player, you know, just, you know, being a good person. And, you know, I think that trumps all. You know, being a good person is, you know, something that you don't got to do, you know, try hard to do. It's just, you know, whether you want to do it or not. And so, you know, I'm just one of those people that's going to always try to do the good for everybody, and, you know, try to just have a good time.
Jason, you mentioned sales class. Obviously, you're here in college. You're here to go to class. You're here to get your degree, and you're here to move forward with that. I have to ask you both. I mean, not a lot of people look at it, and I don't think we actually have a list anywhere on the website, but what's your major? What interested you about that field that you're pursuing right now?
So my major is sports management.
Sport
management.
Dr. Stewart's going to yell at you for that one.
My fault, Dr. Stewart, if you ever listen to this podcast. But, yeah, I'm a sport management major. I kind of got tied into it because most of my credits transferred over from Bradley. I was a sports communication major over there, and then most of my credits transferred over here. And don't look at me, Robbie.
Credits.
But, you know, it was more of the business side over here, and I was, you know, it kind of opened my eyes to just more of what you can get out of the sports business. I didn't know what I really wanted to do with the degree, but as this particular semester I've learned, I'm very interested in sales and marketing. So hopefully I can, you know, whenever I get done playing ball, I'll probably pursue a career in those. If not, I definitely would be a sports agent. Because I think, I've asked people, what do you think I'd be good at? Everybody's been saying sales. Because I'm a I like to open doors, make connections, and I want to help people as best as I can, sell things as best as I can. So I believe relationships is a big aspect of who I am, and I believe those two fields are probably the best for me.
And Jason, you actually got an opportunity this fall, from what I can recollect and remember, that you had an opportunity to work within the athletic department here. Was an internship. What all did you get to do?
So this past semester, I took a class called SPM 390. It's basically kind of like an internship class, but not really. So I had to do practicum hours, you know, volunteer work of the sports industry. And, you know, I was like, why could not do it in the athletic department, who support us overall? So I got in contact with, shout out my girl, Haley Dean. You know, she's been a big help for me, and I was kind of like her assistant in a sense. She taught me how the marketing and sponsorship sales work here at Indiana State, and I was interested, you know. It's a lot of work. It's not easy, you know, being in sales, but she really opened my eyes to a lot of avenues, from the script to the music to her working long hours, you know, going out to communities and stuff like that. So I really enjoyed it, and it kind of opened my eyes to a lot of different things.
Yeah, I'm also a sport management major. Yeah,
there you go,
yeah, I can say it. Dr. Stewart yell at Jason when you see him. You know, after my college, you know, career's over, I do end up planning on playing pro. You know, that's definitely the, you know, plan A. You know, going as far as I can, playing as long as I can. But after that, I know that business is now kind of hand in hand with sports. And, you know, it's just, you know, having that upper hand, I'd say, you know, with having a sport management degree. When I go to play professional sports, even on after, you know, just knowing that business side of how sports works is definitely a positive for me. And, you know, I would like to either coach in that, you know, afterwards, you know, whether it be the high school or college level, or, you know, even get down to the, like, the business side of sports, you know, whether it's managing a team, you know, being in the marketing side, you know, just, you know, I've always seen myself doing something in sports. I couldn't see myself without sports, you know, and, you know, just being, having the opportunity to, you know, just keep playing sports, keep, you know, coaching sports, just being involved, you know, whether, you know, it's coaching, you know, managing, refereeing, just something, you know, as long as there's a game plan, you know, I'd love refereeing to be there.
Crazy.
Yeah, no, I might have to, though. I might have to get on that ref.
Robbie
side.
Is the worst ref you ever seen.
Nah. But
I'm feeling there's a story there.
Yeah, this guy's just a hater, but. But yeah, no, just, you know, sports is, you know, I don't see where I'd be without sports. And so just, you know, just being in sports as long as I can is something I plan on doing.
Being in sports as long as you can. I mean, obviously basketball is what you're here. That's what you're doing. And that's what you're playing. But I do have to ask, and Robbie, I talked with you a little bit about this before we started recording, but if you could play any other sport, if you were involved in any other sport, where do you think you would be successful with? What would you want to attempt or try or do something along those lines?
Definitely.
Because, I mean, you look back at some of the greats that have come through this program. I mean, even Larry Bird played baseball here at Indiana State, at least for 2 games. So there is precedent for maybe some multi-sport athletes here.
Definitely the 100-meter dash. No, I'm lying. I would definitely say football. I played football from second grade all the way up to freshman year. I played for the youth league. That was, you know, my dad ended up running, you know, now. And I played every single position. I played center for most years. My brother was the quarterback. So, again, it starts to build that connection. I hated him sometimes. But, you know, sometimes I miss a block on purpose, let him get tackled. But I played center. I played receiver. I played linebacker, D end. I played all over the place. I even played kicker a little bit. So, you know, my size 16 foot, you know, kicked the ball real far. And so I used that to my advantage. Yeah, no, I played football for the longest. I ended up playing freshman year for Old Forest. I played quarterback, which was this kind of story. So I was playing receiver for, you know, the beginning of the year, you know, all the way throughout the summer, you know, right before the work. You know, we started playing, and a week before the first game, my coach comes up to me and goes, "Hey, Robbie, we need you to play quarterback." Like, yo, what? And so I was, you know, blindsided there, so I had to learn the offense from a whole different position right then and there. We ended up losing 14-0 that game anyways, but, you know, we moved on. So, yeah, no, I definitely would say football. I played. I even started coaching a little bit after I finished, freshman year. I started coaching at the youth league that I used to play for, the Old Forest Raiders. I coached there for now, I think, 5 years, 6 years now.
Okay.
I've been coaching eighth graders, So, like I said, when I mentioned coaching, too, it could either be basketball or football. But the reason why I stopped playing freshman year is because, all you hear, obviously, I was a 6'6 quarterback.
I told him.
6'6 quarterback. He didn't tell me nothing. Nah. I was a 6'6 quarterback, and all you're hearing from the other side is, take out the knees, take out the knees. And so I was just, protecting myself. Obviously, basketball is my more important sport. And so I ended up, hanging up the laces then and, called it quits.
Coaching those eighth graders, what's your base offense, defense? See, how do you
So for our eighth grade team, it was like a family business. My dad was the kind of the head coach defensive side. My brother actually was our offensive coordinator. Okay. I was kind of just, I think I coached more of the linebackers and DNs, just kind of specializing in one spot. This year we were a big option kind of spread out offense. My brother likes to spread it out a little bit, play fast, play whatever. And so He handled that on offense. I didn't really think it was going to be the best, but they, credit him. They did put up a lot of points, so I'll give it to them. And then defensively, one of my dad's assistant coaches, he was a big blitz guy. So we blitzed a lot. We were, if we were going to do one thing, we were going to get in that backfield and try to tackle that quarterback. And so we were big on that. I was kind of just, trying to teach the basics of, fundamentals of what you can do at the defensive spot. I was helping a little bit with the offense, but just kind of, using my knowledge of playing all over the place, just, helping out wherever is needed.
Football was definitely best football player ever.
Can't catch.
How many seasons you got?
You can't catch.
Who can't catch?
You can't catch.
I catch all your passes, don't
see,
I?
See, all practice. When you start, out of bounds, out of bounds.
I do that on purpose. How, like Robbie said, he lets go of the block to let his brother get taken out. But all seriousness, I would say my sport, if I wasn't playing basketball, is, which is going to be surprising, is soccer. I was a big soccer guy. I've played all the way up through middle school. I wanted to play in high. I really, really, really wanted to play in high school because that was really my love. But unfortunately, AAU and soccer never matched up, so I kind of had to hang them up after middle school. But I say soccer. I really love, just running and, kicking the ball. I love how people, maneuver their feet with the ball. I thought it was very interesting. I was like, it's the basketball version, but with your feet,
Can you juggle though?
Yeah, I can. I practice.
I bet you I can juggle more than
I bet you can't.
We
definitely can. I would dust you, first of all.
We're not talking about running. Juggling. We talking about juggling.
Juggling.
Man. Shooting. Got number two on the list. We got a one-on-one, and now we got a secret juggle more.
Yep.
But soccer, I really thought soccer was going to be the sport for me. It just came naturally because I was short, but I was kind of tall for my age, so I really thought I was going to just be a tall guy playing soccer. I play every position but goalie. I refuse to I refuse to get the ball kicked at me, and I have to block it. I'm very big on stuff that if I don't have to do it, I will not do it.
Mm-hmm.
But soccer, most definitely, and even track a little bit. I love jumping. I couldn't really jump back then, but I just love the jumping part of track. But really, soccer is the main one.
I asked the sports question because one of the notable things that basketball tends to do every year is go out and play that Labor Day softball game. Neither of you said softball, so I'm going to ask about that.
We stink.
Exactly. You have events like that. So you have events that the team's a part of, that the coaching staff encourages you to be a part of with that. And again, it goes kind of back to that team building. What kind of culture has the coaches built in with that? How have they helped kind of just continue to foster that relationship where you guys continue to grow together?
Well, first off, they build a losing culture on the coach's side. We whooped them. I believe it was like 30 something to like stay at like double, like maybe 10 or whatever. So they build a losing culture on the coach's side. The last 2 years they stayed no chance against us, but
and they won't for the next 2-3 years.
Yeah, but no, it's just definitely a way for us to get out and go have fun. Obviously, basketball we take it very seriously, but it's just a game. And, having those opportunities to play, other sports and like that, sometimes we even go out on the sand with Ken to get a different workout, It's on the sand, instead of, in the weight room, just being able to change the environment of the game. I think at the end of the summer, we play dodgeball. It's another thing we did, doing those other things, just to have fun, relax a little bit, I think it just allows us to enjoy each other again, a little bit more, have fun, a lot of laughs. You know, one thing about softball, Derek, man, he went 4-for-4 in his home runs. You know, we're all, he was, you know, like I said, he was killing the coaches. And so just you know, getting those opportunities to get off the court, you know, have fun, you know, relax is definitely something big with us.
Yeah, you know, piggyback off of Robbie, it gives us another avenue of seeing guys in a different atmosphere because, you know, pretty much everyone plays basketball. You know, like he said, we take it very serious, and it just gives us another fresh air to relax and decompose and just to have fun and, you know, see guys with their other athletic abilities. Shout out one guy in particular, Ryan Conwell. Never played baseball in his life, but he hit a home run, made two big plays for us.
Yeah.
You know, got two outs back to back. You know, shout out Ryan Conwell for that.
AG can't catch a ball.
Yeah, AG can't catch a ball.
We got some guys that can't play. Swole, you can bet him. He can't catch, can't
he? He was hiding most of the game.
Yeah, no, he stood in the corner.
But it gives us another eye on people, and it gives us another see guys in different lights. And you know, like you said, even then it's super competitive. Okay. Even when we get to play dodgeball, it's a whole another level of competitiveness, because a lot of pride comes out in that one. Even if you get hit, they will stand on and say they didn't get hit.
a lot of cheating going on.
It's a lot of cheating. Even to some of the mini games we have in the locker room, like shadow boxes, that's so popular with the kids. And shout out Wolf, Smoke, JD, Derek. Even me now, I'm in it now a little bit, but it's a fun atmosphere. It just brings a different limelight to it and just takes the stress off of basketball. Just like, not basketball, let's do something else fun.
That kind of atmosphere, I mean, obviously it starts at the top, starts with Coach Schertz and just what he's brought to the program. I have to ask you both, I mean, what's your relationship with Coach like? What's he like kind of in those moments, but also once you start getting serious as you start getting to the game?
For me, Coach is another kind of like a role model in the sense of a coaching ass standpoint. You know, I've had multiple coaches leave in two different programs, and I would say he's probably one of the most, literally the smartest coach I've ever played for, from his defensive schematics to his offensive schematics. You know, off the court, he's a fun, he's like you say, he can talk your ear off, but he's a fun guy to talk to. He's funny. I really enjoy talking to him, like, about basketball, even not about basketball. But when it's time to get serious, he will get on you in a different way that most coaches won't, you know. He's pushed me in a different role of, I'm going to get on you more and I'm going to challenge you more in different ways. And we've talked about it off season, and he will push you. He will try to get the best out of you. If you think you're giving your best, it's not best enough for him. You got to accept his challenge and push even more than you think you can.
Yeah, no, for me, he's like a second dad. All he does is nag and complain to me, yells about me and stuff, and, you know, what I'm doing wrong and all that, you know. But
talk about how slow you are.
Yeah, talk about how slow I can't jump. All he does is say all the negatives like my dad. But, Coach Schertz is one of the smartest guys, you know, not even just on basketball, just, you know, one of the smartest guys I've ever met. And just to have him as, you know, the head of our, you know, program here, you know, we can't be any luckier. You know, basketball, like Jason Ken mentioned, he's gonna push us to, you know, do the absolute best in what we do. And he, you know, the thing about him is he knows what we do best. You know, he knows some that we're not good at. He's not gonna make us do that, and he's gonna call us out on it if we are, if we're trying to do it. But he knows, you know, what we're extremely good at, and, you know, he's gonna do the same thing. He try to make us do that well. He's gonna call us out on it if we're not doing that. You know. It's just, you know, being around him, you know, on the court, he's all about winning. Yep. You know, he has no pride, no ego, no nothing. It's whoever's going to win that game, and he's going to do the best, what he thinks is the best for you know, that team, that game, and, you know, he's going to do everything for us. And off the court, you know, as serious he is on the court, off the court, he's, you know, like I said, it's like my dad, you know, someone I can go to, you know, whenever I need something, someone I can joke around with, you know, we have fun, you know, as much as he makes fun of me, I sometimes make fun of him a little bit. And so, you know, we get to have some jokes here and there, and, you know, just like we, I think we hit on, you know, more than once here, is, you know, the family type atmosphere. You know, it's just, you know, being comfortable around each other, you know, not even just Coach Schertz, but all the other coaches as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's like, I said it once, they're like my crazy uncles, you know, Coach Tone, you know, that guy is,
man.
Wild. That
man
is wild. Maybe it's different. That East Coast air or something like that, but that man is crazy. And so, you know, just having fun with all these guys, you know, learning from all of them, and, you know, it's just something that we're blessed to have.
You know, piggyback off of Robbie, East Coast got like a different dynamic to him. Like he said, Tone is like the crazy uncle, the one who want to crack jokes, talk about you a little bit, you know. Then you got
he be calling Jason Kemp PJ Tucker.
Yeah, bro, he be calling me PJ Tucker. I'm like, yo, bro, chill out, man.
3 and D, you know, three and D.
And then you know you got Grace, who's kind of like the Grant. Sorry, Grace, but he kind of like a grandpa a little bit, you know.
Old school.
He's neat. Does what he need to do, get done. He goes home. Gets what he need to do, go home. Then you got Fur. Fur is just Fur. He's different, you know. Fur is my guy. Fur,
make sure you get your homework
done. One thing about Fur, he's going to make sure you get your work done.
You
then
you
got
your homework done, you're in trouble.
Yeah, then you got AP. You know, he's kind of around our age. He's a guy you can crack jokes with, but he's gonna talk to you. He's gonna talk about you, and he's gonna talk with you, you know. And then the man, the myth, the Mr. Redhead himself, Coach Rob Gardner, man.
He's undercover funny, man.
Yeah, he's like
you undercover. Don't see it, but that man he gets the ass out of me.
He got some jokes in him. You won't see it like you would out of shirts, but you'll definitely like catch him he's out of hilarious. Like you'll just hear out of ear. He's like, did Rob really just crack a joke like that? Like what?
You could talk about the family atmosphere, and we've got to talk about just the fact that we're getting ready to head into holidays. You get one of those rare times off, especially during basketball season, where you have a couple days where you get to spend time with friends, family. Have to ask about holiday plans. You guys going home? What's your plan? What are you going to do during your downtime just to kind of rest and recharge, get ready for the stretch of the season that comes after Christmas?
You know, I definitely plan on going home. I don't take these times for granted. You know, obviously being during the basketball season, you know, it's during two semesters, so, you know, your time's pretty much taken up from, you know, September all the way up until March, and, you know, you don't really get these kind of breaks, you know, go back and relax. And so my parents, my family, they come to a lot of the games, so it's not like I don't see them, but, you know, it's just a little different when you're, you know, in Terre Haute seeing them versus, you know, being at Oak Forest, you know, being at the crib with the family. And, you know, I definitely will be home for that little short break. As far as plans, you know, I don't really plan on doing nothing too crazy. I think this year's actually the house to hold the Christmas party is the Avila house. So all the family's gonna be coming over, all that stuff. And so just, you know, being able to enjoy everybody, you know. I got a bunch of little cousins that look up to me, you know, with basketball and all that. So, you know, being around them is just, you know, a blast. And seeing everybody all over again, seeing my friends, family, and, you know, just something I just, you know, can't wait to do.
I do plan on going home for the holidays, but I won't go home as fast as Robbie.
I'll be home after the game.
I'll stay in Terre Haute a little bit because my girlfriend lives out here with me, and, you know, I want to spend a little bit of time with her because, you know, she works out here, and spend a good time with her for a little bit before I go home. But I'm definitely looking forward to going home because, I get to see my little sister. I haven't seen her in person in a long time because she's out at LSU playing her freshman year of college ball. So being home, get to hang out with her is really about it, you know.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward towards the Christmas games. Mom, Dad, if you're hearing this, just know I'm coming home for revenge, trying to win some gifts, win some money. But going home is, like Robbie said, you know, I've been in college for 4 years. You know, I don't take this for granted. It's probably the only time I will go home by choice.
Yeah.
But I'm really looking forward to going home and hanging out with the family.
Christmas gifts or Christmas games, like you just mentioned, leads me right into my next question. Christmas traditions. What are some of the things that you and your family do special around this holiday time you just enjoy that as a part of it?
Yeah. So it kind of started in the year of 2020. My dad was like, you know, we couldn't really do anything and stuff like that. So my dad was like, we're going to start doing Christmas games. You know, he went out on the internet, just found different games. And, you know, it's normally me, my mom, my dad, my sister, and my grandmother. And we all play like different versions. Like one, it was like you put a stocking cap over your head, you tie a water bottle down, a tennis ball, you got to like hit the water bottles down. And there was then like first, second place, third. So I never forget. It's like the funniest thing ever. So we was playing one game. It was like I forgot what it was, but the prizes. So my sister won a pair of shoes. I won like some incense and stuff. And then like the third place is like the worst cards you could get. So I got two Rottweilers at home. So my grandmother won it, and she thought she won the greatest prize because you could switch.
Yeah.
So she switched with my sister, and the card was. The gift was you get a kiss from the dog for 5 seconds. Like, we all cried laughing because she thought she won. She was happy. She was like, yeah, I won. I get the shoes. I get this. She opened it up. Her jaws dropped to the ground. Everyone was laughing. I cried laughing. The Christmas games at the house is super fun, competitive, but it's really, I'm really winning for the gifts.
Yeah.
The gifts and the money is what I'm really looking forward to. And we have Christmas dinner, so that's my tradition.
We don't really do too many, big traditions. I say we do a little, grab bag gift with my cousins. That's just kind of, something smaller, we like to do. But other than that, I know we used to always, obviously, when we were all at home, we always did the ornaments together, putting up the Christmas lights. Obviously, I'm not being home, so I like to be on FaceTime when they do it, to be a part of it, something small like that. But, no, we don't really do too much to it. We don't do nothing crazy about having a dog kiss, all that stuff. No, we don't get crazy as the Kents do it, but we just like to, like I said, chill, enjoy each other's company. Christmas dinner, I can't wait for. Man, I'm ready for another home cooked meal for my mom, all that stuff. But yeah,
you both. I mean, I just see the faces light up. I see the big smiles when you mention the Christmas dinner. So, have to ask, what's going on your plate? What's kind of the specialty dish that your family has for that Christmas dinner?
You want to go?
I'm going to go ahead and say it, just Rock like out. Thanksgiving. Mac and cheese. Yeah. I can't wait. Nothing beating my mom's mac and cheese. I can't wait for that, though. Just having that. I think we usually have, ham, maybe a little turkey, too, as well. Just kind of like a Thanksgiving dinner, but, just a little different. But I can't wait for any of that, If I could snap and get there now, I would. I double snap just because, but... like I said, I'm going to say it one more time. Mac and cheese. I can't wait for it.
Fun fact about Robbie, before I get mine, he loves cheese. Anything with cheese.
Real cheese, mac
this
and cheese,
guy,
cheese,
like,
pizza.
I've never met a guy who loves cheese as much
cheese
as this guy,
sticks,
man.
Cheese curds, cheese
cheese
fries,
everything.
Okay.
Cheese on a sandwich, cheeseburger,
cheesecake.
Anything with cheese.
Man, but me, definitely mac and cheese.
See,
my mom's yams. Yams, the honey ham. But a lot of people about to judge me for what I'm about to say, but chitlins.
Okay.
I'm a big chitlin guy. I love.
Go ahead.
I love chitlins. Hopefully,
pass it to the next.
Hopefully, they can make it. Sometimes they don't, but I look forward to the chitlins. But I really enjoy Christmas dinner because that's really the only dinner I can have with my family around. Playing basketball, I don't get to have it. We don't get to. Have a Thanksgiving. I haven't had Thanksgiving dinner with my family for 4 years, so this is what I really look forward to, is I get to eat and enjoy all the my mom's cooking, because they gonna expect me to cook, and I told her I'm not cooking when I come home, because out here I'll call Chef J. Kent.
Yeah,
I'll be really throwing down in the kitchen, but when I go home, I kick my feet up and let them do all the cooking. I don't touch nothing.
No, you haven't been asked to do any kind of dishes or anything like that?
No. And if they do, I'm telling them no.
It's a blessing and a curse.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Cause nobody asked me to cook, and I'm perfectly fine with it. I'm perfectly fine without cooking.
Well, guys, I appreciate you taking the time to join us today on Sycamore Sit Down. Look forward to great holidays, and look forward to getting you guys back after the break as we get ready for the rest of the season. But once again, just thanks for joining us today. Definitely appreciate you.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to be on here.
Appreciate it. Enjoy the time on here.
This has been Go Trees.
Yeah, go Trees, for real.
This has been the Sycamore Sit Down presented by Team Greenlaw. We'll be back again next week.